You know, Brother Grayling was mentioning that you'd pray for him and need to pray for Sister Debbie. Yeah, Brother Edmund was sharing with me today it's a serious operation. It's going to be a painful operation. She needs our prayers. And then we were reminded on Sunday to remember Sister Elsa. She's going away for a checkup and she's pretty anxious, and who wouldn't be? You know, every time I went and the doctor was going to go down in my throat, I would be anxious to see if he was going to see something. So pray for Sister Elsa and Brother Julian as they go. Let's pray for one another. We need each one of us need each other to pray for ourselves. One verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You pray for us too. We'll be leaving to go on tomorrow for Green Turtle Key for 2 weeks. We value your prayers as we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We all can quote the verse. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to each and every heart tonight. If I was to put a title on the message tonight, it would be The Certainties of Salvation. You know, we live in a world today with uncertainties. We can't be sure of our health. We go into a doctor's office, we get a clean bill of health, and walk outside and fall down dead. We can't be sure of our wealth. The stock market fails, the banks fail, property goes up and down. We can't be sure of our wealth. But I'll tell you one thing tonight. We can be sure of our salvation. You know, I was encouraged tonight, and I always like to hear a hymn or a song or a chorus pertaining to what I'm going to speak about. And what did that choir start out with? Saved to the uttermost. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about tonight, the certainties of salvation. First, we want to look at a knowledge of him, Jesus Christ. Then we want to look at a faith in him. Then a surrender to him. And then an assurance of him. An experience with him. A confidence in him. And a testimony of him. Brother Greeley, don't get excited. It's a 40-minute message, but I'm going to try and do it in 15 minutes. Believe me, I'm going to cut it back. A knowledge of him, Jesus Christ. Paul says, I know whom. You see, Paul didn't have a hope-so salvation. Paul didn't have a guess-so or a think-so. Paul had a know-so. I ask tonight, do you know for sure that you've been born again? You can know. You see, the word know means to be certain. It means to be thoroughly acquainted with. And you know, you might say, Brother Freddie, how could I be thoroughly acquainted with him? My friend, it's no other way but the Word of God and in prayer. Brother David didn't know I was to be speaking on that on Sunday morning, and he said something that never came to me before, and it went with what I wanted to say tonight. And I made a note of it in my Bible. He said, the better we know him, the more we become like him. I asked tonight, Christian, how well do you know him? How well do I know him? And if you're here without Christ, I ask tonight, do you know him at all? You can know him by simply placing your faith and trust in him. A knowledge of him, but then a faith in him. Paul says, I have believed. I have believed. Again, let me ask you tonight, have you ever believed in him? You say, well, Freddie, I don't know what it really means to believe. Friend, tonight, if you realize tonight that you're helpless and hopeless and outbound, you'll know exactly what it means to believe. But you might say, well, the devils believe and tremble. Well, that's true. But let me explain it like this. We have a good friend over in Greensboro Key we made in the past few years, Brother Curtis. And last year we were trying to get Brother Curtis to come for the conference, and he wanted to come so bad. Said, but Brother Freddie, you don't know, I just don't eat everything, and I don't know if I can make it. I said, Brother Curtis, if you come, we'll cook what you want. I'll take you where you want to go, and you look for my home will be your home. And he said this to me, Brother Freddie, I believe every word you've told me. I said, then you'll come. He says, no, I haven't committed to it. And friend, that's what I say tonight. You might believe there is a God, but if you haven't yet committed yourself to him, you're still lost. But if you have, you got eternal life. Someone has said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Jim Ryder put it like this, my faith had found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me and for you tonight. I know in whom I have believed. It reminds me a story of a elderly woman getting on in years. And at an early age, she memorized a lot of verses in the Bible. But now she began to lose her memory. And all she could remember is this one verse, I know in whom I have believed. And then she got to where she could only quote a part of the verse. That which I've committed unto him. And then, just a few hours before she died, the children noticed her lips moving and they put their ears down to listen to see what she had to say. And it was just one word, him, him, him. You see, friend, she had lost every word of scripture besides one. But in that one word, she had the whole word of God. Him. Him. A faith in him. Thirdly, a surrender to him. I have committed. And that word committed means to place in trust, to put in care or safekeeping. And that's exactly what Paul had done. Even as Paul is facing death now, he says, I know that which I have committed to him. I have nothing to worry about. I have nothing to care about. I know that my salvation is sure. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Commitment, you see, is talking about of our spirit, of our soul, and of our body to the Lord. If we've done that, Paul says, that's what I've done, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Whom I have believed, fourthly, an assurance of him. Paul says, I am persuaded. You know, the word assurance means, the word assurance is based upon God's promises here. That's what Paul is basing his assurance upon what God has said in his word. Friend, tonight, if you got a doubt, you have nothing else to base your assurance on, only God's word. You might say, well, Brother Freddie, give me a promise. Well, just one, because we don't have time to mention any more. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking in John 5:24, and he says, most assuredly I send to you, he who has my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And what he is saying, he who hears, he who listens, he who receives, he who obeys my word, got eternal life. Not you will have it. Got it this moment. Has everlasting life. Friend, if you've done that tonight, you can be certain of your salvation. I'm reminded of Dr. Peters tells a story of a a guy who was not too educated, and but boy, did he have a deep assurance of his salvation. Everybody called him Old Pete. And one day, Old Pete was talking to Dr. Peters. He says, "Dr. Peters, if God was to take me over the mouth of hell and say, 'Here you go, Pete, that's where you belong.'" Pete says, "I would say, 'Lord, you're right. God, you're right. That's where I belong, in hell. But if you send me there, you'll have to take your dear son with me, because he and I are now one.'" Assurance. "Oh, I trust you every tonight if you're saved. And if you don't know the Lord, trust you, know him and have the assurance." Fourthly, a confidence in him. That he is able. He is able. And the word able means adequate power. Listen, our God doesn't just have adequate power. He's got all power. All power is his. The word confidence means to trust or rely upon another. Where could I take you better tonight than Romans 8 and 31 through 39? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. And then Paul says, who can lay any charge or just charge against one who's trusted Christ, against their salvation? And the answer is no. When I say, well, why, Paul? Why can any charge be laid? And Paul says, because it's God that justifies. That's why no one could lay it. And then Paul says, who can condemn us? No one. Why, Paul? Because Christ has died for us, friends. That's why no one can condemn us. We have salvation. Who can separate us? No one, Paul says. And then Paul takes us on through that verse, and he says, not tribulation, not distress, not famine, not peril or sword. Instead, they all draw us closer, don't they, to the Lord. And then Paul's not finished, and he searches the whole universe, and he says, not even death could separate us. And all its terror, not even life with all its sinful attractions, says not even angels or principalities, the supernatural, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can ever separate us from Christ, the certainty of salvation. You know, it reminds me of Ephesians 3 and 20. Give me a minute to just go over that verse with you. It says, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let me just break it up slow and listen as I do it. He's able first. That should be good enough. But then he's able to do. That's better. And then he's able to do what we ask. And if that's not good enough, he's able to do what we ask or even think about. And if that's not good enough, he's able not only to do what we ask or think, but he's able to do all that we ask or think. And if that ain't good enough, he's able to do above all that we ask or think. And if that ain't good enough, he's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. I say, Paul, that's enough. But Paul says no. Paul says he's exceedingly, abundantly able to do above all that we ask or think. How could anyone ever, ever touch our salvation? He's able to keep it. You see, our God is over, above, more than enough. We could say with the psalmist, my cup runneth over. Sickly an experience with him. Paul says, I also suffer these things, that beginning of that verse. And this word suffer there means to bear with endurance. And it also could mean to sustain loss. Paul says, I'm willing for that. Peter picks it up in his epistle, 1 Peter 2 and 20, and says, what glory is it? If ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently. It's no glory in that, because you deserve to be buffeted. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. Ah, Christian, tonight, are we willing to suffer for him? You know, if we suffer for being loyal to Christ, three results will follow. God overrules the suffering. for its glory. Secondly, he uses the suffering to bring glory to others. Thirdly, blessed is the one who suffers for his name. That's worth suffering for Christ. That's worth suffering for Christ. Peter says, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed. I'll tell you, there's no disgrace in suffering for Christ. Then we realize how much he suffered for us. Finally, a testimony for him. Testimony means to produce evidence or proof. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. And the choir sang about that tonight. I'm not ashamed. Though we sang about it in the hymn Brother Grayling gave. You know, every hymn and everything was done tonight. I felt that the Lord was just leading on to this message tonight. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? Paul says, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe it. The psalmist could say, let me not be ashamed of my hope. Oh, I pray God tonight, Christian young people tonight, don't be ashamed of your hope. When the opportunity comes, share it with someone else. I trust that our Savior will not have to be ashamed of us in that coming day. I want to quote a little poem I came across a couple years ago, and I think it goes so good with the message. It says, full coverage. Listen to it as I read it. Listen. I have an insurance policy written in the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the cross of Jesus, redeemable wherever I am. What an insurance policy. Listen, says the company will never go bankrupt. Ain't you glad of that? It is bonded by God's promise true. It will keep every word of his contract. Exactly what it says, it will do. Listen at the last words. No collector will ever come calling. I like this. It was paid on Calvary's tree. It insures me for living and dying. What insurance company can insure you for dying? And if that's not good enough, it says, for all eternity. Friend, do you have that coverage tonight? Do you have that coverage of the precious blood of Christ tonight? Oh, I pray, God, that you won't leave here tonight until you have it. And Christian, if you've got it, you no need to doubt tonight. We have God's word. You either believe him or you don't believe him. I trust that everyone in here tonight will take him at his word. Lord Jesus, I am waiting thy dear face to see. Resting on thy promise, thou wilt come again for me. Joy of thy returning, wondrous meeting in the air. Wonder of all wonders that I'll be there. Friend, will you be there? Will you be there? I pray, God, you will. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful tonight that we could say with Paul, I know in whom I have believed. But Father, it may be someone here tonight who have never believed, have never committed their life to Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we pray that before they leave the building tonight, they will trust him and know him, whom to know his life eternal. Father, indeed, we're so thankful tonight for the food that's been provided for our needs. We realize so many tonight have absolutely nothing, are going hungry. And you've given us so much. We want to thank you for it. We want to thank you for those hands that have prepared it. And Father, may we use the strength from it to serve you better. For we ask it in the Lord Jesus' precious and lovely name. I wonder if somebody could raise that chorus as we go. Brother Ross, maybe you could do as we leave. Give me a moment to get to the door. I know in whom I have believed. But I know...